Well, the kingdom done come. The kingdom is here on earth. And the Holy Spirit is fellowshipping with us. Now, when you leave him out, we can't leave him out because he's the one to help us to discern the Lord's body.
Yes, amen.
I mean, we can really, Paul said, you know, he had accomplished a lot. He said, I hadn't got where I wanted to be. That means we are growing. We're continually understanding. Understanding the things about the Lord's body. We're continually growing and understanding. And if you meditate on the word and let the Holy Spirit help you to discern. You know what you can say at this table? Say, Holy Spirit, I want to discern this body. I know you're here with me. Always be conscious that the Holy Spirit is there with you taking the Lord's Supper. You're not there by yourself. You can ask him questions. You can say, Holy Spirit, here in Philippians 3:10, Paul said he wanted to know that resurrected. See, that resurrected body resurrected in all power. It resurrected in some power. He said, I want to know him that way. Discerning the Lord's body is knowing him.
Yes.
I got one more place to go through, and I'm rushing through this. Let's go to the sixth chapter of John. Let's rush to that. In the sixth chapter of John, he had fed the 5,000 and carried on and had done some mighty great work there. I mean, they sit down and ate a great meal, and they were filled. And they came back, and Jesus said, no, you just came back for the fish and loaves. He said, let me read what he said about himself. Let's see where we want to go. He said, whosoever... Okay, let's go to the 48th verse. I am the bread of life. Okay, let's go down to the 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. When you sit down and eat, I mean, y'all need to be meditating on these scriptures here. He said, you dwelleth in me. See, more takes place at that supper table than what you think. You're eating the life of God. This body is his life. You're eating his life when you sit there at that supper table. He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, in the 56th chapter, dwelleth in me and I in him. There's a connection that goes on at the supper table. Meditate on these scriptures and get them in you. So when you go to that table, you're like, oh, this is where I'm eating life. Oh,
Lord.
You get to eating that bread, you get up there and run. You get from the table and you run, you're eating life. And not just ordinary life, but the life of Jesus himself.
Yes, amen.
And I'm way over my time again, Apostle, but please forgive me. But the Holy Spirit would help you discern the Lord's body. Just ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Holy Spirit, I want to... I'm not asking you a question. Interrupting. Rude. Listen.
The Holy Spirit.
We're asking Holy Spirit, not you. But you can ask Holy Spirit. You can hold that bread up and you can receive something at the table. We need to be benefiting from this table. It's just not a table that you come and anybody had their hand? Somebody had their hand up. Sister Dave.
I just wanted to read the Amplified because it's so much more clear.
That's what I wanted to read too, but didn't have the time.
Okay.
Because I'm way over thirsting time. Come on up.
For my determined purpose is that I may know him become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him.
Hold up, Sister Deborah. And that's what I wanted to put into. This is the most intimate meal that you can ever have. This is the way you come really intimate with him, eating his body, and drinking his blood. We're not talking about cannibalism, okay? We're not talking about that way. But David had a good sense of eating. He always would say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good."
Glory.
You know, he had that sense of eating. But when I read in the 6th chapter of John, he said, "This is real food here." Yeah, they were following him for them fish and loaves. And I know that was good. He blessed that. That probably was the best fish and the best bread they had ever had in their life. And they were following him for some more of that. I mean, you know, this is good. We want another meal like that. But he said, "This is real food here." When y'all sit down and y'all discern that this is real food here, he said, "It'll help your spirit, soul, and body." All they wanted something to help their flesh. They wanted another good meal, another. I mean, Jesus could have set up a fish hut, a restaurant, and they all would have came because it was good. But he said, "This real food." I want y'all to say, "This is real food." He told them, "This is real food here. Y'all avoiding this, but this is real food here. Because it'll give you my life." Sorry, Apostle, I really tried to behave this.
Nah, no problem. It was good.
Okay.
This will be quick.
Yeah, it is.
Always.
Real food, people.
I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians.
Real food.
I'm going to go
real
back.
Real food. I want y'all to get that in your mind that this is really real food. I can't express this enough because, see, this table is an end time weapon. Eating this can become a weapon.
Yes.
For you. Not only fellowship, but a weapon. And this is going to be used in the end time. A lot. It's used now, but see, you got to get used to it now. And know what it means. Ooh, yes, it can.
Not just the healing you need, but keep you from being sick.
Okay, I'm back to 2 Corinthians 6 again. 2 Corinthians 6. We'll look at verse 12 this time. The Lord brought me back to it. He said, "Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels." That word straitened, that means to be in lack.
Give them the chapter and the verse again.
2 Corinthians 6, verse 12. When the places, the dry areas in our life is what he's saying.
What did you say straighten means?
Lack. That's how it's always used. Like in Job, they said when the wicked are in their full sufficiency, they are still being straight. You know. In other words, your problems don't come from the words of God. They come from your own strength, operating in your own strength. But he said, because you're straightening your own bowels. He's defining what will make you strong and what will cause you strife and problems. It's kind of like what Mary was just saying about recognizing the body. We were using these scriptures earlier in the communion class. Verse 13. "Now for a recompense of the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." He said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has unrighteousness with righteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Many times people try to combine both. The first example God gave us, he made two trees in the garden. There were many trees in the garden, but in the middle of the garden, that was the tree of life and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you got to select one. He put the tree of life in there so you could live forever in fellowship and communion with him. He put the other tree there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that you could reject it. We have to do two things in order to follow God. We have to receive His word and reject everything that's of darkness.
Amen.
And people fail when they try to blend. You know, Jeremiah, one scripture, the Lord gave him a word. He said, and diminish not a word, because he had to speak a hard word to people. He had to tell them that that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come take their kingdom over. And God gave it to him. But the Lord told him, diminish not a word. Now, when you're ministering to people, you can sense the confrontation. And in Christ, you have, if the only way to do it right is to receive what the Lord said and relay what God said. But sometimes people smooth it over. They're blending the tree of life with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes people trust the world system somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they don't drive it out of their life, and it always causes problems. And it hardens your heart against God. You can't, if you're receiving the life of God, a drop of the world will begin a hardening process against the things of God. And over time, it will become greater and greater.
Mm-hmm. Man.
That's why the Lord can't let sin into heaven. Jesus washed us from our sins so we could be righteous and remain righteous on purpose. But if when people allow the world to, in their ways, then, you know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Now you got to pay for all your sins again. You were washed in the blood, but because of unforgiveness, now the Father won't forgive you. When I studied that, I said, he meant that. And I saw a video where the man, the Lord showed him heaven and he showed him hell, but the angel said, if you die now, this is where you'll be, because you're in the ambulance, you asked me to forgive you of your sins, but you didn't forgive your wife. And I'm like, how many people do that? This is a serious matter. It's more serious than I can share, but it's God, he does things the right way. He said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? There is none. In the first place, when the Lord said, let there be light, he chose the light and rejected the darkness. And we have to do the same thing. It's our responsibility. If not, it'll cause problems in our lives. He said, and it'll interrupt our communion with God. And he said, what concord has Christ with Belial? Or Christ with Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? If a person choose not to believe, what kind of agreement that they have? When you take a position, it's a system that comes with it. If a person chooses the world, that system is with them. If you choose God's ways, the kingdom of God is with you. And there's a clash. God put enmity between his people and Satan's. He put enmity between the seed of woman, which is Christ, and Satan. There's enmity. It'll always clash forever. But the way God solved the problem, he gave us a way out. And those that love him, they'll receive him. And they'll operate in his ways. And they'll learn of him. And they'll drive the darkness out. We have to receive the light of God's word. A lot of times, we know the truth. Uh-huh. We know the ways of God. We know the truth of God. But the only areas of our lives where we'll have and walk in faith is the word of God that we receive. It goes right back to the communion Mary was talking about. When we receive his word, we receive his love, we receive his body, we receive his healing, we have faith for it. The only areas, you have to do things to make your life strong in him. In other words, the ten virgins, five were wise, five were foolish. Mm-hmm. The wise, they received God's word and kept it. Mm-hmm. And they fellowship with the Lord. And they had oil in their lamp, faith in their heart. Now, when you do that, the world is out there. And it is warring against the things of God all the time. So in order to stay strong, we have to continually receive God's word so that we'll be stronger than we need to be. But the foolish ones, they didn't drive out the world, and the world made them lazy. They stopped receiving the word of God. They became more worldly and more, and they didn't know what time it was.
They did.
And they wasted the time they had. And when Christ came, they couldn't go to heaven because they had went back to the world.
You know, and also they didn't do anything extra. You know, sometimes the body of Christ don't want to do nothing extra.
Mm-hmm.
That's extra, Sister Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to Prescott is extra. We got preaching over there. This is extra.
Yeah,
but the wives took extra. They did something extra, extra oil, extra of the Holy Spirit.
Really, as long as you continue to receive the word and fellowship with the Lord, you're right with him. He said, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? No, you know, idols don't work. I'll wrap it up. For ye are the temple of the living God. Amen. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, the ways of the world, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You don't hear preaching like that as much as we need to. But it's not popular, but it does the job.
Amen.
And when people, you know, you have to do these things. He said, and will be a father unto you, and shall be, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. So when you follow him, when you fellowship with him, remember, when you yield yourself to him, you're going to grow perfectly towards the created desires of God for you. Everybody that grow in the Lord, they grow towards what God designed them to do. It'll be, you will meet yourself. You will see you. The more you draw near to the Lord receiving his word, you're enhanced. The real you, what God intended you to be, is enhanced. Everything of the world is designed to reduce you into Satan's image. He didn't make you, but he wants you to look like himself before the Lord. But when you draw near to the Lord, you will be developed into what God intended you to be.
Yes, amen.
And a gift he gives you. I want to say the biggest deceptions now is the inclusion and diversity message from the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's only God and there's only Satan. You can't have all of these religions come into your church because we're going to accept and include you know, we're going to be kind. You minister to people, but you don't mix with them. You don't get unequally yoked.
Yes.
No, it won't work. It just.
But it's prevailing our schools, prevailing our churches, and there's no in between.
Well, the Satan can do more damage with a lukewarm person than somebody that's all out cold or all out hot. He can't. A person that's on fire for the Lord, he can't touch him. He's gone. A cold person, he can do damage, but a lukewarm person can do spiritual damage.
Because they seem to be religious. They seem to be Christians.
Mm-hmm. All right, man.
All right, y'all know we're way over our time.
All right, dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for this. I pray for everybody here that you help us to do all this in your heart. Bless us to be very strong in you. And help us to go forward being your will, doing your will, and enjoying fellowship with you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
You know, God is fun. He ain't
good. He's still going at it. Apostle don't want to turn it loose. That was good, Apostle.
Yeah.
He has a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.